listening to anything, but you're here with us, the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. Today's message is meant to inspire and encourage you. If you have questions about the message or God or faith in general, you can reach out to us at connect@perryhall.life. Thanks again.
If you're joining online, we say welcome into the service. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And we are going right into our 1 John series again. We're entering into chapter 5. And I hope that you've been blessed with 1 John, because I know I have been, and I'm still learning, I'm still digging. And every time I get started preparing for a Sunday sermon, I see a different revelation. Like, man, I never seen this in John. All of a sudden, something's coming alive here. So today we're hitting overcoming, living in victory. I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't understand living in victory. I see a lot of times Christians are living a defeated life, and we're not supposed to live a defeated life. We let the cares of this world overtake us, and it pulls us down without a doubt. But we're going to see how John starts and kind of ends with we are overcomers. We should be living in victory. So we're going to start out here in chapter 5 again. But I do want to say, and just kind of briefly here, that John is continuing to hammer away at a couple major points. If you remember, I kind of just bring us up to speed. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. This is a key point to continue to remember, that this is who he's talking to. Though as we go through, you'll see that he's talking to believers, but it also can go to unbelievers as well. But I think what I'm really finding somewhat intriguing on my end is it's believers, strong believers, and then it's, you know, medium believers, then it's baby believers, and everything in between. So kind of keep your mind thinking that way. He started out of the gate with talking about false teachings that are happening in the church at that time. Gnosticism he was talking about. And it was just false teaching coming into the church, being taught, and being misleading to people. And I want to say this, it's happening this very day. It's happening right now in the world. False teaching in what is called, and I'll put air quotes in it, churches. We talked about some of this a couple weeks ago when we talked about the spirit of the Antichrist, how it's in churches, and you know, it's the church may have some good stuff, but it's embracing sin. And we have to be careful of what we're listening to and who we're listening to. So John kind of comes out of the gate with that. He goes in to talk a whole lot about love. Like we said last week, he cornered the market on love and the teaching of love, without a doubt. He talks about God's love for us and our love for God and our love for others. So that's always a tough one, because we got to sometimes love people that may be a little unloving. And you know what I'm talking about there. He goes on also to talk about where we're going to hit here, victory. We have victory in the Lord. But when he talks about truth, that is a key point, because we're not going to know the counterfeit unless we know the truth. This is why the Gnosticism, this is why this false teaching is getting into the church, because people don't know the truth. And the word of God is truth. So how are we going to know counterfeits if we don't know the truth? We said a couple weeks ago how bank tellers, they know the real dollar bill. They study the real dollar bill. They probably know what the smell of is a dollar bill. Everything about the real thing. So when one of the counterfeits come, they can say something's not right here. The counterfeit can come in many different ways, even in the dollar bill or in religion, in faith. It can come many different directions. We just need to be aware of it. And I really appreciate John in a sense, because he keeps like resounding, I guess, certain points. He's not all over the place, but he's hammering away at certain points that we need to really receive from him, from the Lord, obviously. I think another big point that I see in John is he's continuing to tell us to examine our heart. Make sure you're right with God. Many people aren't right with God. Many people in church are going to go to hell when they die. What do you mean? I'm going to church? Yeah, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven because you go to church. And he's continuing to resound this same thing. Make sure you're right with God. And he's even telling you This is the way you do it. It's self-exam. You don't need somebody, you don't need a minister to say, hey, you're going to hell. John is saying, if you don't have these attributes, good chance you're not right with God. Good chance. And so it's kind of like a self-evaluation. And John continues to do that. And I'm going to be honest with you. As you go through the Bible, there's a whole lot of that self-examining yourself spiritually, whether you see it. You don't really see it coming out, but you see it in the writings where God is constantly saying, be aware, be ready. Don't take it for granted. Just because you're a nice person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you go to church, you're not going to heaven. Just because you're handsome like me, you're not going to go to heaven that way, okay? That's not going to get you to heaven. But you know the point that I'm trying to say here. You know, so John now gets into this point. He's going to start out in verse 1, and he's going to kind of give us a description, maybe definitions, if you will, of really what it means to believe, really what belief is, and who to believe. This is a problem that was in the church and is in the church today. So I'm going to start out in verse 1. And you know we're doing the Amplified. We've been using the Amplified for a good while now, actually through this whole 1 John. And throughout the Amplified, the verses, the ones in the parentheses is the translator's comments. And when I mean comments, for the most part, it's the definition, is whether it's Greek or Hebrew, it's the description of what's being said there. So it just, for me, it saves me a lot of work because it already does the work for me. But he starts out and he says, everyone who believes. So I'm going to just stop there for a minute there. Everyone who believes. You see that he's talking to the believer. He's talking to the church. Yeah, he's talking to everyone who made Jesus Lord of their lives. So he starts out with that. He gives a description. Everyone who believes with a deep abiding trust in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is born of God. Okay, so let me stop for a minute. This is a key point. And again, John continues to bring this out here. Everyone who believes, if you have a deep abiding trust in God, it doesn't mean just because you believe. We look at this word believe, and I know I said this several times, past several months, is one day we're going to do a sermon just on the word belief, because a lot of people think that you believe in the fact that Jesus came is good enough. No, believing in the fact is not, most of the world believes in the fact that Jesus has come. Yeah, he does too, or she does too. Thank you. That's an amen in child talk. Amen. But the point really is we can be raised, and most of us probably been raised in a religious home, and we all know the birth of Jesus. We celebrate Christmas. We know the death, the crucifixion. We know the resurrection. Yeah, we know they made a good story. You know, it was great to talk about it at the time. But believing is more than just that. And we're going to see here what John is about to say. But let me finish here. I'll start again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is born of God. That is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the child born of him. Okay, so let's kind of just unwrap this one here a little bit. There's a whole lot of teaching in here without a doubt. But we're seeing here, what is this? Believing in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Most of us know this, that Christ was not Jesus' last name. Let's just throw that out there. We may think that way. Christ means Messiah, means the anointed one. Now, our spiritual birth, being born again, rests on the belief that you know that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, so that might say, all right, but what is the Messiah? What is all that? Well, the name emphasizes his work in one sense. And we're going to see here in a couple minutes, we're going to see some more scriptures emphasizing what the Messiah has done for each and every one of us. The Messiah has done something for you individually. But the emphasis really is on his work. What the Messiah, what Jesus has done. What he did for you and me. What he did on the cross. The list can go on and on, but I want to just break it out into Isaiah 53. Most of us know this one. We hear all the time pretty much at Resurrection Sunday. But here's some points are being made. And it says here in verse 5, but he, now speaking of Jesus, this is written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus bore our sins. He bore our sins for us. Without believing in Jesus and the works he done for us, we won't make it to heaven. We won't make it to heaven. And I'm telling you, this is so critical, I believe, in this day, is to make sure everybody's hearing a message about eternity. Confusion is coming out more and more in this world as we see. We see that our children are on attack. We talked about that in the spirit of the Antichrist several weeks ago. So we got to make sure that we're getting on the right path. I had someone tell me just yesterday, people, make sure you're getting paper copies of the Bible. AI is going to start messing with Bible translations. So we got to make sure we get record of it in our hands without a doubt. So he paid a price that we cannot pay. Now he took the physical punishment. We see this word wounded. It means to pierce through. Okay, that's, we should know that. Pierce through the hands, pierce in the through his feet with nails, crown of thorns in the Jesus. He was pierced. He took boring, you know, just jabs, whatever you want to take here. He took it for a reason. Let me keep going before I get into that. Then it says he was bruised, crushed, or crushed under the skin. That's what it means. You know, if you ever get pounded with a stick or something like that, you know, Lisa hits me with a stick all the time. Good for her. Who said that? That's what I want to know. But the bruises, you don't break the skin. It's, you know, the purple, you know, the stuff that's underneath there. Chastisement. As to discipline, that means to reprimand. It means to rebuke. It means to scold. Jesus was taking this. He didn't deserve it, but he's taking it for a reason. Stripes, the whipping, the scourging that Jesus took. We know that. We've probably seen plenty of the movies there and things like that. This is what Jesus did. Now, why did he do this? Why did he do this thing? Well, I'm going to read it again, Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Maybe you can say it like this. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was wounded for Dom's transgressions. He was bruised for Dom's iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, for Dom's peace. And by his stripes, Dom is healed. Okay, now put your name in there. It's not about me. Okay, by his stripes, you are healed. Now we look at these words. We see some interesting stuff here, but here's the point. All this sacrifice that Jesus took, he took it for you and took it for me. Why? Because we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't appease God with our own blood. It took God's holy blood to be sacrificed for us. Now, again, we see with the stripes, we are healed. Physical, spiritual, there's healing. It's not right that we will be healed or that we were healed in a sense. We are healed. Pretty important factor there because, again, many of us, we can believe that we're spiritually healed. We're going to heaven. We accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior. We all like that. But when it comes to the physical part, well, we struggle a little bit and different things like that. But we got to notice the facts. Now, facts are important without a doubt because we see the spiritual, we see the physical, we see that sinners cannot do it themselves, nor what we do, nor how we feel, nor what vows that we have taken, nor what promise we have made. We can't do it on our own. Jesus had to do it. I would always think this way. Make sure that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ matters to you. And not just a great time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the death and resurrection. They are great celebrations, without a doubt. but they got meaning to them. Jesus suffered for our sins, not his sins. Hebrews says Jesus was without sin. So we see here that Jesus was definitely a substitute for you and I. So I want to go back to this word believing again. The fact that Jesus existed is not just how a believing that will enter into a relationship with God. Here's what I mean. I said at the beginning, just because you know that Jesus came, died, and rose again is not your I don't want to say ticket, because it's not your relationship. It's not the way a relationship starts. Many people believe in Jesus. Many churches believe that Jesus came. Many of them will say he was a good man. They won't say he was God. They will say he's a prophet. They do all this stuff to disregard who he is. John was kind of saying, be on guard on what you're listening to. Be on guard what you're being taught. The fact that Jesus was born a virgin, nailed on the cross, rose from the dead for the whole world is not personal saving grace or personal saving faith is what I mean. Many faiths, like I said, they'll believe that Jesus came. And let me say this, that's interesting, because you know what else? In James 2:9, it says this, you believe that there is one God? Wow, you do good. Congratulations. Even the demons believe and they tremble. So there's a point in understanding what this word believes. We've been talking, and John's been kind of talking here, that when you believe, you know that you know that you know. And many times I've asked people, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. I'm pretty sure I should. My goods outweigh my bad. No, I'm going to tell you right there, if that is your answer, you ain't going to heaven. You're not going to heaven, because you know that you know that you know you have a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Saving faith means having a relationship with God, not a religion. It's a saving faith. Accepting and obeying his commandments is a result of your faith in him. Is a result. Now, we don't earn our relationship with God. We don't earn salvation. We can't earn it by being a good person. There's nothing that you and I can do except to receive what Christ has given us. Believe in him. Now, again, that believing is, I believe in it, but you know, you should have something, you should have some results in your faith. Recognizing that he, Jesus, made the path for you. Nothing you can do on your own will get you to heaven. Accepting his death and resurrection, right on, you have to. Accepting the Messiah as the anointed one, as Jesus the Christ, yes, you have to, and everything that comes with it. Verse 2, we're going to just go through 5 verses here. We'll pick up speed. By this, verse 2, by this we know without a doubt, okay, without a doubt, that we love the children of God, expressing that love when we love God and obey his commandments. Now we see an indicator here, but this we know without a doubt. We know that we know that we know that we love the children of God. He's going back to this thing, you better love. You better love. And in love takes forgiveness, takes patience, takes a whole lot of things. But we got to love, because it's a response of our relationship with God. We got to obey his commandments. By this we'll know. Can't just say I believe in God and still live like the devil. Well, your belief is not really having any result, has no weight to it. Love for God and his word is the evidence that we love the family of God. John keeps looping back and forth here on this love thing. It's like, when is he going to stop? It's like, okay, John, I get the point here. But he's bringing out this point, and he's taking it to a deeper level. And he's telling the body of Christ, he's telling the church. And obviously there was big problems going on back then, and they're happening this very day. Church, you got to love each other. The test whether we love the family of God is whether we love God and his word. Love is always faithful to God's principles. If you really love God, if you really, really love God, you will honor him. You will honor him by his principles, his commandments, you know, living a godly life, spending time with him. It's just like any other relationship. And I'm going to tell you, it works. God wants more of each and every one of us. But this commandments here is plural, if you notice. It's not just one thing. It's a whole host of things, but it's all God's principles. And I'll say this, the world is trying to pull you away from the principles of God. It's trying to pull you away. You know, it's coming in. At one time, it was kind of sneaking in. But now it's blatant in your face. It's like Satan is showing his cards to us, and we have to respond to what is happening in this world. Verse 3, for the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep his commandments and remain focused on his precepts. And his commandments and his precepts are not difficult to obey. We see the parentheses there. Okay, so here we see it here. It's a habitual thing. We don't just keep commandments for the holiday season and we're acting all holier than thou, and then we're living like demons outside there. You know, whatever we're messing with on the computer, wherever we're getting entertainment from, alcohol, parties, sin, unforgiveness, the whole thing is wrapped up in this. But habitually means continuing in God, in the Word of God, continuing in His Bible, continuing to get to know who He is. You're not going to ever arrive until we arrive. You're not going to arrive. So we got to continue to keep pushing forward, because there's an enemy that's on our heels and there's pressures taking place. But the point here that we see is this, is our love for God, and not necessarily at this point, God's love for us. We see that all through here, but he's continuing to push. Hey man, it's about a relationship with me, God is saying. It's with me. I want more of you. I want all of you. In a marriage, you know, marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. You know, in a marriage, and that's what it takes. And this is what God is saying. I want all of you. I don't want a part-time, relationship with you. I want a habitual relationship, continuing to go on and on. Verse 4, for everyone born of God, here we go, is victorious and overcomes the world. This is our topic here. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. This is where the victory comes, is our relationship with God. I want to say this again. Many Christians are getting beat up out there. We're getting beat up because we're in a sinful environment. We can't get victory. We continue to, you know, get pounded down by whatever it may be, health, finances, other people, all these different situations here. But God is saying, wait, you're a conqueror, but your conquering comes through a continuing faith in Jesus, a continuing faith. It's not the part-time thing. It's that habitual faith in God. Continue to grow the faith. Read the Word. You know, the Word of God strengthens your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you're just hearing the Word here, we're seeing it up here, I'm telling you, it's not enough. It's not enough to feed your faith. God wants us to be victorious. What parent doesn't want their children to be victorious? What parent doesn't want that? But it takes persistence. It takes something that we have to do. So we know God is on our side. God is saying, this is what you got to do. This is why we go to the Bible, and the Bible is constantly giving us instructions for good living, godly living, healthy living, you know, dealing with situations. The list goes on. But the world is out there, and it's opposing the will of God. It's opposing God's commandments. And we see it in churches as well. The truth is not preached in churches. You know, they have a feel-good message. Love everybody, you know. Yeah, we need to love people, but we got to hate the sin, because God hates the sin. We talked about it last week. The abomination, the disgusting thing to God's certain sins. There's different levels of sin. But the victory gained on the cross overcomes the world. It overcomes the world. This is where we get our victory from the cross. We look at the cross. We look at the resurrection of Jesus. That sealed the deal right there. And we believe in that without a doubt. Now, that's something hard to believe. Whoever came back to life? Nobody really came back to life. They may come back for a little while, but they're dead again. Jesus is alive and well. He's alive and well. So faith is this, is simply taking God at his word. I don't know how else to say it. Is taking God at his word and getting into his word. This is where it comes from. So we continue to see scripture. And again, I'm winding down here. And here's another indicator for us. John 15, verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. bear much fruit. See, some people say, well, you can't judge people. You got to be careful judging people. Well, you don't judge their heart, but you can be a fruit inspector and you can see something's not right with this guy. This life is not a godly life. Now, that's easy to do. But here's what I want to say. Look at the fruit in your life. Just look at the fruit in your life. Are you producing fruit in your life? I mean, godly fruit. You know what I mean? Godly things. You're doing things God's way. Are you doing it your way? Just look at the fruit. And this is what glorifies God. It's easy to point the finger at other people and say, you need to do this. This person's a mess. Look what this person's doing, you know? But look inward. Just look inward. Am I living a godly life? Is my life pleasing to God? What am I holding in my heart? What am I holding in my heart against other people? Am I holding something? Choose not to hold on to an offense, because we're getting offended daily, but especially against a brother and sister in the Lord. See, we can talk a good talk without a doubt, but our faith produces fruit. We do not interpret the Bible by what we think the Bible says. We interpret the Bible for what the Bible says. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Be listening. Be listening for the Holy Spirit. Be listening, because he'll talk to you. As you continue to work that relationship, you're listening. Man, this is not right. This is not right. I remember Lisa and I would go shopping sometimes for the kids. We would go down, we would stop, but we would go down an aisle toy store. And I'm going to say it was just evilness. And what told us it was evil? Just the Holy Spirit tells you. So you got to tap in. Something's not right here. I'm not feeling it. See what the Word of God has to say. If you feel like you got something, make sure it doesn't contradict the Word of God. Then you got nothing. Verse 5. Who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we overcome the world. That's how we overcome this world for now, and as we get into heaven as well. See, Christ brings that power to every Christian, that power to overcome sin, to overcome sickness and diseases, to overcome this crazy world system that is constantly at us. Can't watch the news for 1 minute without getting disgusted and discouraged. And when I would say it can't get any worse, the next day it's worse. It's like you can't believe what has taken place. But as I said before, the devil's exposing his hand. So for Christians, it's like, make no mistake, we got work to do. We got work to do. And the work is more than praying. The more is acting. That's a whole nother thing there. I don't want to start getting on that tangent. But true faith acts on what God's word says, not what the world says, not even what facts say. God's plan for you and I is to overcome and live in victory. So if you're struggling with something, just look at your heart. Maybe look at the fruit. Anything coming out? You know? You're playing around with things you shouldn't be playing around with? Taking things you shouldn't be taking? Holding unforgiveness? Let me tell you something, holding unforgiveness is a horrible prison to be in. And you know what? You can be a Christian. Be a Christian. And you're holding something against a brother and sister. Get it right. Get it right. But the bottom line is, God loves us. God loves us. I don't know how else to say it. Becky was saying it earlier, that God loves you. He just loves you. He came and died for you. Romans 8:31 says it this way: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for me, if God is for you, who can be against me? Who can be against us? Nobody can be. It's not even like, you know, it's not even a thing fighting good and evil. God's not fighting anything here. You know, God doesn't. He can handle all this. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, for his mercy endures forever. God doesn't give up on you. He's not going to give up on you. The problem is we got to sometimes make sure we don't give up on him, and sometimes take things in our own hand. that amen? We can stand at this time. I want to bring it to a close. I want to do what we did before, and I want to say this here. In a moment, don't rush it yet. In a moment, I want the altars to be open. And just come on up if you feel led to. We're going to conclude as well as open the altar up. If you feel like you just need a refreshing from God, hey, nothing, it's just going to be you between you and God up here, a refreshing from God. Maybe you're dealing with hurts. Maybe you're dealing with unforgiveness. Maybe you got a situation in your life that's weighing you down. Humble yourself and come before God. The God is not going to leave you. The God is not going to forsake you. You may say, I don't have a relationship with God. Oh, I believe in him, but I don't have that saving relationship that I know, that I know, that I know, that I will go to heaven when I die. If you don't have that, just come on up. And God will speak to you. Just say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. You know, you don't have to label off your sins. God already knows what you've done. He wants us to ask for forgiveness. He wants us to invite him in. And he wants that relationship with you. So what I want to say at this point, I want to conclude. I want to bring just one more point here before I conclude, because we got our why worship coming up this Friday. And I pray that every single person comes to this. Every single person. You know, it starts at 7 o'clock in the lower level. And we're going to be talking about why worship. There's an importance that's taking place up here. Up here is not entertainment. Okay, we're not trying to entertain people with the talent that God has given these guys. But there's power in understanding worship. There's power in understanding praise. And I tell you, when we had our last altar call, we had a miracle take place. Ernie told one other person about this miracle. And I'm praying that it will be shared this week, this Friday at Why Worship. It is scheduled to be shared. To me, it's a tremendous miracle that took place. And it took place right here. The person just came up and God dealt with them. Nothing crazy happened. Didn't have to pray over the person. It was between that person and God. And every time it's up here, and when you come up here, expect God to do something. Just expect God to do something. You know, whatever it may be, we need healing. We need healings from hurts, from past tense. We need strength to get through the next week. We need wisdom and knowledge. God, what do I do with this decision? I might have college. I might have a career. What am I doing? God, I need help. You know what you need. And I tell you what it is you need. It's whatever's keeping you awake at night. You're not getting a good night's sleep. You can't fall asleep because this thing is going in your head 100 miles an hour. God says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Every care that you're carrying, I'm saying bring it to the altar, and I'm saying leave it here at the altar and let God do the work. Amen? I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll ask everyone to come up. Father God, I just thank you for your word today. Your word is so powerful. It is so rich. Lord, I pray it gets into each and every one of our hearts, Lord, the importance of loving you, loving each other, loving the church. And Father, as we know how much you love us, you loved us more than we can even imagine. And Lord, you're calling us into a relationship. You're calling us into a victorious relationship, into a healthy relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that over each person here today. Any cares, Lord, they will come forward and just come before God and just hear what you have to say to them. Lord, I thank you for each person here. I thank you for your church. Continue to guide and direct us. And Lord, as always, your will be done in Perry Hall Family Worship Center, and your will be done in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That does it for this episode of the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. We're so glad you were here. And if you want to know more about our church, you can find us at perryhall.life. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, follow, wherever you're listening, whatever that looks like. We're glad to have you.